Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Midland Reporter Telegram, Friday, October 28, 2022, Volume 94, Number 166, read by Leah. Dearin inducted into Hall of Fame. Midlander Patrick Dearin, Center, is presented a book-shaped crystal award at his induction into the Texas Literary Hall of Fame on the TCU campus in Fort Worth on October 19. Dean Sonia Watson, left, and Dean Tracy L. Hull, co-chairs of the Hall of Fame Board of Judges, presented Dearin with the award. Dearin, a former Reporter Telegram staff writer and author of 26 books, was one of seven authors inducted. The Hall's 66 members include Elmer Kelton, Larry McMurtry, J. Frank Dobie, John Graves, and Catherine Ann Porter. According to its website, the Hall was established in 2004 to celebrate and encourage the state's rich literary heritage by honoring its foremost authors, whose original writing reflects enduring cultural relevance and artistic creativity. Elections Office. Expect results on election night. State. Local officials can count all votes November 8. By Stuart Doreen. Midland County Elections Office Administrator Carolyn Graves told the Reporter Telegram that the election results will come out election night, November 8, and not on the afternoon or evening on November 9. Graves said the Texas Secretary of State office has told her that local officials will be able to count all the votes on election night, including those from the 1,200 voters who received a defective mail-in ballot and were sent a second ballot to fill out. There was confusion on when those ballots could be counted. The process for ballot counting will look like this, according to Graves. 7 p.m., November 8, early voting results will be released. Throughout the evening, results from 20 Election Day voting centers across the county released, and any ballots from the 1,200 voters who received defective ballots that still need to be counted. Graves said some second ballots have already been returned and other people may just decide to vote in person. She said the county's ballot board will be at the elections office to oversee and verify the election process. Graves added that the same rules apply for the election, that provisional and military ballots and those from overseas will be counted 6 days after Election Day. She also expected the results to be canvassed on November 22nd. Midland County Early Voting Locations for November 8 Election. Midland County Elections Office, 2110 North A Street, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. October 29, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. October 30, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. October 31 through November 4. Centennial Library, Meeting Room Number 113, 2503 West Loop 250 North, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. October 29, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. October 30, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. October 31 through November 4. Cogdell Learning Center, Classroom Number 4, 201 West Florida Avenue, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. October 29, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. October 30, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. October 31 through November 4. Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 3813 North Midland Drive, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. October 29, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. October 30, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. October 31 through November 4. St. Paul United Methodist Church, Abundant Life Center, 4501 Thomason Drive, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. October 29, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. October 30, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. October 31 through November 4. Firehouse Subs to offer free sandwich to first responders by Morgan Taylor Thomas. To celebrate National First Responders Day, Firehouse Subs in Midland and Odessa invite all firefighters, police officers, paramedics, and EMTs to stop by and receive a free medium sub with any purchase on Friday. On May 18, 2017, Senators Elizabeth Warren and Tom Cotton and Reps Mark Meadows, Michael Capuano, and Elijah Cummings introduced a resolution for the national holiday to Congress. On September 27, the state of Colorado made it official. Strong supporters of the resolution include the family of Sean Collier, an officer ambushed and killed in the Boston Marathon bombing. Portions of every U.S. Firehouse Subs restaurant benefits the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation, which helps fund for life-saving equipment, prevention education, scholarships, and continued education, disaster relief, and support for members of the military. In the Midland-Odessa area alone, the Safety Foundation has awarded more than $58,000. The Midland North Park location can be found at 2900 West Loop 250 North, Suite 162. Odessa's Chimney Rock Restaurant can be found at 6123 Texas 191 Frontage. All first responders need to be in uniform or with a valid ID. For more information on the Safety Foundation and Firehouse Subs mission, visit firehousesubsfoundation.org. Halloween events. Midland Mayor Patrick Payton spent a few minutes reading Halloween stories to children at St. Luke's United Methodist Church's Pumpkin Patch. The patch is open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Mondays through Saturdays and noon to 5 Sundays until Halloween or until all of the pumpkins are gone. Family-friendly event. KWN Greenbelt Vet wants participants to enjoy pounds of candy, perfect family picture moments, and voting for their favorite and least favorite trunks. Dogs need to be fully vaccinated and on leashes. 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, 4920 North Midkiff Road. Adult events. Hosting a Halloween monster bash, Little Wood Rose brings a night of spirits and spells, thrills and chills, through spooky drink specials and a costume party. Running from open to close, the chilling celebration starts at 11 a.m. and ends at 2 a.m. Friday, 3415 North Loop 250, Building 1. The Black Flame Candle Bash, hosted by Pride Center West Texas, takes over the Midland Beer Garden. Packed with dancing, good drinks, and a fun time, the Candle Bash takes from Halloween classic Hocus Pocus, providing all things witching hour. Wicks get lit at 9 p.m. and blow out at 1 a.m. Friday. Tickets available at bit.ly/3Nb6T3, 712-7112 West Highway 80. Obituaries, read by Leah. Annie Ruth Jackson. Annie Ruth Jackson was born July 4, 1957, in Midland, Texas. Preceding her in death is her grandparents, Thomas and Minnie Lee Williams, parents K.T. Hudson and Annie Schreckenghost. Annie leaves in cherished memory the love of her life, Thomas Smith, children Melvin Jackson III, Brittany Jackson, her pride and joy, Isaiah Jackson, grandchildren, hosts of aunts, uncles, cousins, friends, and let's not forget her students. Once a bulldog, always a bulldog. Funeral service will be held on Saturday, October 29, 2022, at 9 a.m. at Goodwill Baptist Church, with Pastor Woodrow Bailey officiating. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. asanchezTFH.com. Annie Cordero. Annie Marufo Cordero, age 73, of Midland, Texas, passed away peacefully on October 24, 2022, surrounded by her family. She was preceded in death by her parents, Eustolia Dominguez and Luis Marufo Sr., her husband, Johnny Cordero, former son-in-law, Angel Lynn Gonzalez, and brother Luis Marufo Jr., and David Marufo. Annie is survived by her three daughters, Annette Dillman, Amy Gerald Ortiz, and Abby Joseph Mejia, all of Midland, Texas. Three sons, Joseph Bridget Cordero, Jacob Cordero, and Joel Cordero, all of Midland, Texas. 11 grandchildren and three great-grandchildren. 7 sisters, twin Lupe Carrasco, Elvira Natividad, Berta Larry Villarreal, Lily Cortez, Laura Marufo, Lorena Laura, Leticia Acosta, and one brother, Herman Dominguez, and numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. A funeral mass will be held at 2 p.m. on Friday, October 28, 2022, at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church, 1401 Garden Lane in Midland, Texas, with burial to follow at Rest Haven North Memorial Park. Pallbearers will be Joseph Cordero, Jacob Cordero, Joel Cordero, Danny Dillman, Alex Dillman, Nicolás Gonzalez, and Giovanni Mejia. The family would like to say a special thank you to the ICU nurses and staff at Midland Memorial Hospital. Services are entrusted to Willowbrook Funeral Home and Cremation Services of Midland. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Anthony Bevacqua. Our beloved brother Anthony, Tony Bevacqua, passed away October 8, 2022, in Round Rock, Texas, after a short illness. He was preceded in death by his parents and his brother, Luis Bevacqua Jr. He is survived by his sisters, Lucretia Bevacqua of Midland and Anna Brewer of Plano, Texas, nephews Paul and Colin Brewer, and numerous cousins and friends. A memorial service is planned for a future date. Deanne McAlpine Salehi, September 6, 1953, through October 24, 2022. Deanne Salehi peacefully went to heaven on a beautiful October morning in West Texas, complemented by a light rain and cool breeze. She was joyfully received in heaven by her parents, Mary and Wesley McAlpine, and her husband, Jeff Salehi, who passed unexpectedly exactly 4 months ago, but was obviously making sure to be the first one to see her renewed in mind and body. Deanne is survived by her daughter and son-in-law, Cameron and Winston Kelly, and her two grandchildren, Cyrus Kelly and Rosemary Kelly. A celebration of life will be held on November 4, 2022, at 11 a.m. at First Presbyterian Church, with a reception following at the Racquet Club. She will be buried next to her beloved husband at their Hill Country Ranch. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to First Presbyterian Church or Manor Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Mary Lou Hogan. wife, mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, aunt, and dear friend to many, passed away peacefully on October 16, 2022, surrounded by family. Mary Lou was born on May 16, 1931, in Crane, Texas. She was predeceased by her husband, Eugene, Gene Hogan, parents, Herman Alexander Hanks and Mary Benita Boyd Hanks, and sister, Billie June Hanks Day. Mary Lou is survived by son Mike Quattrini, Susan of Grapeland, and daughters Denny K. Quattrini Skates, John of Frisco, and Diane Hogan, Charlotte of Austin, 6 grandchildren, and 9 great-grandchildren. Also surviving are her 2 brothers, H.A. Hanks Jr. of Andrews and Jack Hanks of Loveland, Colorado. A celebration of life service will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, October 28, 2022, in the Faith Chapel of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. Interment will be in the Hilltop Cemetery of Carrollton. Memorial donations may be made to the charity of your choice or the Texas Baptist Men Disaster Relief, www.tbmtx.org/disaster-relief. Family members may be reached via family@hoganclan.com or 3205 Kentshire Lane, Frisco, Texas, 75034. John Forrest Watson. John Forrest Watson of Rankin, Texas, passed away on October 23rd of 2022. John was born in Corpus Christi, Texas, on August 13, 1930, to Alan and Marie Watson. He is survived by his sister Mary Watson Avalos and brother Ambrose Watson, his sons Gregory Watson, James Watson, Fred Watson, and Brandon Watson, his daughters Loretta Jordan and Cheryl Hilson, many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, and numerous nieces and nephews. He is preceded in death by his parents, Alan and Marie Watson, his brothers Alan Watson Jr., Clarence Watson, Kermit Watson, John Wilson, and sisters Anita Dimery and Gloria Guillory, his former wife Teresa Watson, his wife Lola Watson, his sons Leon Watson and John Watson Jr., his daughters Creesa Burrell, Sunshine Watson, and Janetta Evans. A visitation is scheduled for Friday, October 28th, from 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home in Midland, Texas. There will be a funeral service on Saturday, October 29th, at St. Thomas Catholic Church in Rankin, Texas, at 11 a.m., followed by burial at Rankin Cemetery. Funeral services is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at www.llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Death notices. Nocona W. Gregory. Nocona W. Gregory, 44, passed away on October 22, 2022, in Midland, Texas. Graveside service will take place on Tuesday, November 1, 2022, at 1 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Vernell Jolie Hunt. Vernell Jolie Hunt, 91, passed away on Wednesday, October 19, 2022, in Midland, Texas. Receiving of family and friends will be held on Tuesday, November 1, 2022, from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Funeral service will be on Wednesday, November 2, 2022, at 11 a.m. at Northside Church of Christ. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery. funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avila Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com.
This is Reed, and this is the Odessa American for Friday, October 28th, 2022. Defendant tied to pedophile website. Editor's note, this story contains graphic language of a sexual nature. Jurors in the aggravated sexual assault trial of an Odessa man heard testimony Thursday from a Homeland Security special agent who testified he came across disturbing posts on a website catering to pedophiles he believes were written by the defendant. Special Agent Jason Grahala, who is based in El Paso, told jurors he was assisting the Homeland Security Office in Washington, D.C. investigate a now-defunct website called rapey.su. When he discovered 2 months' worth of posts written in the fall of 2020 by a man who claimed to be a 28-year-old father of three who lived in Odessa and was 6 feet 5 inches tall. A further investigation revealed the Stretch Xwood 2020 account was linked to a Gmail account belonging to a Dakota Hoyt who lived in Odessa, whose driver's license matched pictures posted on the website and whose date of birth also matched that of the person who created the account, Grahala said. The special agent also provided the credit card number associated with the account. Hoyt, 30, is currently on trial in the 358th Ector County District Court on 3 counts of aggravated sexual abuse of a child. Assistant Ector County District Attorneys Melissa Rain and William Prasher told jurors they believe the evidence will show Hoyt, who has 3 children, victimized the girl when she was 5 years old in the fall of 2020 and in July 2021. A sexual assault nurse examiner testified earlier this week. She found an abnormality in the girl's rectum that could indicate the girl had been sodomized. She also acknowledged, however, it could be indicative of other issues, including constipation. The same nurse testified the girl described Hoyt raping her, sodomizing her, and having her perform oral sex on him. The girl's great-grandmother testified the child told her Hoyt had sodomized her in July 2021, and her daughter, the child's grandmother, called authorities. She, her daughter, granddaughter, and great-grandkids have all since moved out of state. On Thursday, Prasher had Grahala read post after post after post allegedly written by Hoyt on rapey.su from October 1, 2020 to December 1, 2020, when the federal government shut down the website. Using sexually explicit and crude terms, Stretch Xwood 2020 repeatedly asked for people to share child pornography with him. He also expressed positive views on sex with children, incest, gang rape, anal sex, and men sexually assaulting their wives. He also bragged about the size of his penis and alleged his 4-year-old daughter had a voracious appetite for oral sex. Jurors had already heard testimony. Hoyt's nickname is Stretch, and he's 6'5" tall. Under cross-examination from defense attorney Scott Lay, Grahala agreed it is possible for people to access other people's Facebook and Instagram accounts when using those people's phones. He also agreed people can have Facebook and Instagram accounts and not post anything. He declined to say if someone could access an existing rapey.su account through someone else's phone, or if there were people on rapey.su who never posted anything. Grahala also testified Hoyt has never been charged in federal court with any crimes pertaining to his investigation. Jurors were told earlier this week no child pornography was found on Hoyt's cell phone. Noel Vidal, another special agent with Homeland Security, testified Thursday that when examining the data on Hoyt's phone, he found internet searches about deleting data on cell phones and child sexual abuse. After the state rested their case, Lay called the alleged victim's great-grandmother, mother, and grandfather to the stand. He also called Hoyt's parents. The great-grandmother admitted the family was kicked out of the motel room prosecutors paid for Wednesday night because someone smelled marijuana in the room. The child's grandfather testified his former wife once falsely accused him of molesting the child's mother when she was small as part of an extortion attempt. 2 other witnesses were called to corroborate his story. Hoyt's mother, Carol, testified the child told her she was told to say Hoyt touched her privates with his privates by her great-grandmother and was given candy as a reward. She also testified she never noticed any behavioral changes in the child, and she never appeared frightened of Hoyt. Hoyt's father, William, also said the child told him she was told what to say by her great-grandmother and rewarded with candy. He further testified the child's grandmother once texted him using Hoyt's phone. The alleged victim's mother acknowledged Hoyt was only one of several people who used her credit card, but she insisted no one had access to Hoyt's phone. Lay also asked the child's mother the same question he asked her Wednesday. Isn't it true the child told her she'd lied about the sexual abuse? Wednesday, she acknowledged that was true. Thursday, she denied having said that. Judge John Schrode is presiding over the trial. Closing arguments are slated for Friday morning. Kooky Carnival coming up. Spooktacular. Silly string, food, games, and a bountiful raffle are all coming up as part of this year's St. John's Episcopal School Kooky Carnival. The event will be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday. In Barnes D&E at the Ector County Coliseum, Carnival Chair Rebecca Grisham said. Grisham is also on the school board for St. John's. A hayride that they call the train, a rock wall, bouncers, a food booth with Jersey Girl Pizza this year, a cakewalk, which is always very popular, glitter tattoos and crazy hairspray are just a few of this year's activities. The pizza will be made on site. Quote, I think a very popular one that we have is Ghostly Grocery, because they get to get all those little Halloween trinkets and treasures, end quote. Head of school Heather Kirk said. Glow sticks, disappearing ink, slime, and silly string alley also will be featured, Grisham said. Silly string alley is Kirk's favorite. Quote, that's my favorite. I love silly string alley, end quote, Kirk said. They had silly string to teach her on October 20th. Quote, her class sold the most tickets for that week, end quote, Kirk said. Quote, each week we have a competition between the teachers of the classes who sells the most kooky carnival tickets. She chose to be silly stringed. Tuesday, October 25th, we're going to water balloon a teacher. They get to choose. She said, I didn't think I'd win. And then one group is going to wear pink fuzzy bunny slippers, end quote. This gives students the incentive to sell more tickets than the other classes. Quote, their teachers are such good sports about it, end quote, Grisham said. A pep rally was held Thursday. Quote, another thing is if we sell $63,000 worth of kooky carnival raffle tickets, I will kiss a pig, end quote, Kirk said. Kirk's brother-in-law in Lamesa raises pigs, so she was going to travel there and take a photo with one of them. Quote, the kids are so excited, end quote, Kirk said. Funds from the carnival go toward classroom enrichment and some technology. They evaluate how much they have and then figure out what project to tackle next. Quote, the project that we're about to tackle with last year's money is the playground. We're getting rid of the black rubber and putting the astroturf and padding down. That is the biggest thing that we're doing, and security, end quote, Kirk said. Kirk said a Texas Ranger gave them a good report. Quote, but there are always things because our society is just constantly changing, end quote, Kirk said. Kirk said they were just shy of their goal last year, but thinks they will reach it this year. Quote, I think there's an excitement with the students. They're telling their parents. They're talking it up, so I really hope we do. I feel confident, and we're going to continue to sell raffle tickets at Kooky Carnival. They will be available for purchase. They're only $2, and we have some great prizes, end quote, Kirk said. Grisham said there's a Traeger grill and a lifetime hunting and fishing license, which is worth $1,800. Quote, we have a Louis Vuitton purse, end quote, Grisham said. There is a $500 grocery gift card for Market Street, a $1,500 Visa gift card, a $500 gift card to the Marriott Hotel, a $500 Southwest gift card, and a $500 Best Buy gift card. They will accept cash, credit cards, and there will be an ATM. Grisham said things feel more normal this year in the wake of the pandemic. Last year, people were concerned about COVID, the restrictions, and precautions. Quote, I don't think I've heard one person make a comment about COVID, end quote, Grisham said. Quote, we're able to do things and allow parents in more, end quote, Kirk added. They were able to have parents at the pep rally this year. Quote, it's a big deal, and they work hard selling those tickets. The children receive prizes, their names go into a drawing, and those who sell the most tickets get a pretty big gift card, end quote, Kirk said. Kirk added that Grisham has been a, quote, godsend, end quote, making everything run smoothly. She said it's also more streamlined. Quote, she's been very organized, end quote, Kirk said. District to add 3 more officers. To offer better coverage to the elementary schools and help conduct safety audits, Ector County ISD trustees recently approved hiring 3 new police officers. During his media call Wednesday, Superintendent Scott Murray said the new officers, who have not been hired yet, will provide the district police department with more capacity. At the October 18th board meeting, trustees approved a $12,215,000 $683 budget amendment that will help pay for the new officers, plus equipment and training. With the addition of the new officers, there will be 32 altogether, including 31 full and one part-time officer. Quote, many people in the community are well aware that the state of Texas is conducting safety audits at this time of all schools in the state of Texas, ensuring that all our external doors are locked, end quote, Murray said. Quote, our police officers conduct a safety audit for every school every week. These three officers will give us the capacity to continue to conduct those safety audits to make sure that students and staff members are as safe as they can possibly be on each of the Ector County Independent School sites, end quote, he added. Murray said the job descriptions are posted, but it takes a while to hire them. Quote, there are a lot of background checks and a lot of hoops, if you will, that police officers have to jump through in order to become an ECISD police officer. It will be several months before we actually bring them aboard officially, and then once they start, they actually have to spend several months with an existing officer learning how to work in the school system. It's a pretty rigorous process to become a school district police officer, end quote, he said. The process isn't as extensive if they are already police officers. Quote, even though they're an existing police officer, there are still background checks and other bodies of work, including training, that have to happen before they're officially aboard as an officer, end quote, Murray said. In a similar vein, Murray was asked if there was something the district could do to bring home the consequences of making threats, bringing weapons to school, and getting into fights. Quote, we're doing quite a bit on our side, but we really need the help of our mom and dads. There's a law enforcement part of this. 10 years ago, a student could use words at school, and a teacher would remind the child that those words might be inappropriate. 10 years ago, a child would probably end up in the office to have a conversation with a principal or administrator, reminding them that that type of language is inappropriate at school, end quote, Murray said. Quote, but today, using those words at the elementary level, middle school level, or high school level will result in an arrest. We're not joking. This is serious. Even if a child may be joking when they say the words, our responsibility today is to take everything seriously, and we do. And so there are legal consequences. You have children, elementary kids, middle school kids, high school kids, arrested because of what they're saying. Children go to the juvenile detention center. Beyond that, that is not something the school district controls. But that is our judicial system that deals with kids from that perspective. What we do on the education side is our teachers and our principals have been very diligent in reminding children, educating children, that when you have an issue, when you become angry or upset, there are appropriate behaviors that you can display to help you deal with your anger or deal with any concern or frustration that you may have, end quote, Murray said. ECISD also has social-emotional curriculum that provides students with the tools and resources that they need should they face someone that makes them angry or upset in any way. Quote, this teaches them the appropriate words or actions they can take to keep them safe, and certainly words and actions that do not get them in trouble, end quote, Murray said. Quote, we're living in a different world today, and our words, anytime a student says anything threatening another child or threatening the school in any way, there will be consequences that the school administers, as well as law enforcement, end quote, will need to address. Quote, I strongly encourage all of our parents to have regular conversations with their children about what to say and what not to say, what is appropriate, what is not appropriate, and then when you feel a certain way as a child, what are appropriate words or inappropriate, what are appropriate words or appropriate actions that you can take in order to resolve any issues or conflicts that you may have, end quote, he added. Unfortunately, Murray said, children sometimes copy things from the news, things they see, hear, or read about things. He said negative behaviors get a lot of attention, and he wished positive behaviors were more in the spotlight. Quote, the reality is that 99.9% of our kids are great students every single day. That's the type of behavior that we expect from all of them, but we have to get our kids and their words specifically under control and help them think differently and speak differently today. This is not only an ECISD issue. We're seeing this across our state and nation right now, end quote, Murray said. Quote, our children are screaming for help and we have to come to their rescue, end quote, he added. Quote, we have to continue to support our kids and help them see the right kinds of behaviors that will help them be successful in life rather than headed to jail or prison, as the case may be, end quote, Murray said. Also during the October 18th board meeting, trustees discussed the possibility of a future bond referendum. Quote, they asked me as the superintendent to bring back some recommendations to them, so I did, and the board has now adopted, with some adjustments, those recommendations, end quote, Murray said. The board adopted a timeline, and they are targeting November 2023 for an election. Quote, we are now in the process of forming a new bond committee. That committee will be made up of a little over 140 individuals. We will have 44 parents, one parent for each of the 44 schools in ECISD. We will have 44 staff members, one staff member from every school in ECISD. We will have 21 community members, 21 individuals that are each recommended by the ECISD Board of Trustees. We will have multiple central office employees, those that represent our fine arts department, athletics department, transportation, all of the areas that typically a bond would consider. We will have those individuals represented as well, end quote. Those interested in serving on the bond committee should let their board member or their campus principal know. Each trustee will submit three names to be part of the committee. Trustee contact information is available on the ECISD website, www.ectorcountyisd.org. The first meeting will be in January. Quote, we will continue to meet monthly through the month of May. Then a recommendation will be brought to our trustees during the month of June, end quote, Murray said. Twin Peaks to donate $10 for every NFL touchdown this season to ALS Association. Twin Peaks announced on Thursday the company is donating $10 to the ALS Association for every touchdown scored during the 2022 NFL season, a press release stated. The Sports Lodge is committed to donating a minimum of $15,000 toward fighting ALS with hopes of exceeding that goal with the help of its legions of fans. Known for years by many as Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS became synonymous with the Yankees Hall of Famer because of his public fight with the disease in the late 1930s. New Orleans Saints special teams ace and fan favorite Steve Gleason was diagnosed with ALS in 2011, is among the most recent vocal advocates for finding a cure. Research is ongoing to combat the disease, and earlier this fall, the FDA approved the use of a new treatment option to combat the effects of ALS. Quote, we want to do everything we can to assist the ALS Association and help the many families that have been impacted by this disease, end quote, Twin Peaks CEO Joe Hummel stated in the press release. Quote, touchdowns are always great for your favorite NFL team, but we're proud to say that every touchdown scored this season will go to the same team, the one battling ALS, end quote. In early October, several members of the Twin Peaks family joined the annual DFW Walk to Defeat ALS at the Dallas College Northlake campus in Las Colinas. The walk helped raise more than $577,000 toward the ALS Association's goal of $1.21 million in Texas. Anyone interested in joining the Twin Peaks team in its fight against ALS is encouraged to pledge their donation through the fantasy football program at Donate. Donate.tx.als.org/team/437914. Chuckers for Children raises $1.6 million for Bynum School. Midland. Under a billowing white tent, more than 600 guests gathered to watch a thrilling game of polo, enjoy gourmet food and beverages, bid on one-of-a-kind auction items, and listen to live entertainment in support of Bynum School. The sold-out fundraiser gave donors a chance to witness one of the oldest team sports in the world while raising a record-setting $1.6 million for a worthwhile cause. Since its inaugural match in 2018, Chuckers for Children has raised more than $3.2 million for the area's only year-round school for individuals with disabilities. The biannual event helps ensure children and adults with disabilities in the Permian Basin have access to quality programs and services, regardless of their mental or physical ability. Quote, the opportunity to partner with the Midland Polo Club has given us a unique fundraising opportunity, end quote. Carrie St. John, executive director of Bynum School, said, quote, we are so thankful to the club, donors, and sponsors for their generosity, end quote. The event helps the school fund student grants, educational initiatives, operations, and therapeutic services, including occupational, speech, physical, and neurological music therapy. Quote, we feel humbled and blessed by the community support, end quote. Tracy Bush, Bynum School Director of Development, said, quote, the money we raised will help some very deserving students, end quote. Academy donates more than $50,000 to local communities. Academy is celebrating National First Responders Day today by contributing more than $50,000 to 20 first responder organizations and local chapters of National Police Athletic Leagues, a press release detailed. This is the fourth straight year Academy has celebrated National First Responder Day by giving back to its communities. Additionally, now through November 13th, Academy is offering first responders, active duty military, and veterans a 10% discount on their entire purchase both in-store and online. Quote, Academy is committed to continuing its support of the brave heroes who protect our communities by donating over $50,000 in honor of National First Responders Day, End quote. Lawrence LaPrise, Academy Sports Plus Outdoors Senior Vice President of Marketing, stated in the press release. Quote, the contributions will help promote funds safely across our footprint, while benefiting hundreds of deserving first responders and local youth in need, end quote. Academy regularly contributes to first responders and safety-related initiatives to promote responsibility and safety through events, programs, and organizations making a positive impact. To learn more about Academy's military and first responder discount eligibility, visit academy.com/discount. Local News Roundup. Texas Recycles Day coming up. Texas Recycles Day is November 12th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Midland College Chaparral Center parking lot. Items collected include electronics, paper, plastics, bottles, and other number one and two only, aluminum cans, tires only limit four per car, no rims or wheels. For more information, call Keep Midland Beautiful, 432-688-7745, or visit keepmidlandbeautiful.org. Odessa couple arrested in connection to HEB theft. An Odessa couple with a history of theft convictions are now facing another theft charge after being seen on video surveillance stealing nearly $1,100 worth of items from the HEB on Western University Boulevard. According to an Odessa police department, HEB employees called police and reported the theft around 5:40 p.m. August 6th. When officers arrived, they watched video surveillance showing two men and a woman filling one shopping cart and walking out of the store with it without paying. According to the report, store employees gave police the license plate of the vehicle the suspects left in, and an officer researching the vehicle realized he'd arrested the driver, Mark Maracalar, 33, before. When researching Maracalar further, the officer noted he'd been arrested in the past with Ciara Kayleen Aguilar Molina, 27, and after seeing her photo, positively identified her as the woman who committed the theft on August 6th, the report stated. The 31-year-old man seen with Maracalar and Molina was identified by an Ector County Sheriff's Office corporal who had seen his photo when it was released to the media, according to the report. Maracalar, who has six prior convictions for theft, was arrested October 8th on warrants for failing to appear in court on drug charges and on suspicion of theft of property with previous convictions in the August 6th case. He was also arrested on new drug charges. He's being held without bail on the failure to appear warrants and on surety bonds totaling $24,500 in the other cases. Molina, who has three prior theft convictions, was arrested Wednesday on suspicion of theft of property with prior convictions in the August 6th incident and on theft of property in a Midland County case. No bond has yet been set. The other suspect has not yet been arrested. Woman accused of stealing more than $10,000. Two Odessa women are facing a felony theft charge after their boss accused them of stealing more than $10,000 from Cavender's Boot City on East Highway 191. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the store manager called police after seeing Carrie Castillo, 38, and Stephanie Mendoza, 19, removing security tags and giving clothing to people without paying for them on October 1st. The manager told an officer Castillo admitted to him that she'd given clothing to relatives several times on that date, and Mendoza admitted she'd helped Castillo give the clothes away and she'd given clothing to her uncle, according to the report. Castillo returned some of the clothes, valued at just under $10,000, on October 8th, according to the report. Mendoza and Castillo were arrested on suspicion of theft, $2,500 to $30,000, Wednesday. They remained in the Ector County Jail Thursday afternoon. No bond had yet been set. Two teens arrested for explicit graffiti. Two 17-year-olds are facing a felony charge after being accused of spray-painting expletives on a pickup truck and garage door. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were called shortly before midnight Wednesday about two kids spray-painting property and jumping fences. When an officer arrived in the area, dispatchers told him the 911 caller was following the two kids and the officer found them at 17th Street and Haywood Avenue, carrying red and gray spray paint cans, the report stated. The officer learned expletives had been painted on a 2003 Ford F-250 parked in the alley behind the 1500 block of Pagewood Avenue and on a garage overhead door in the alley of 1700 Haywood Avenue, the report stated. The owner of the Ford estimated it would cost $9,000 for a new paint job, and the owner of the garage thought it would cost $1,000 to fix the door, according to the report. Samuel Simmons and Jackson Warnick were arrested on suspicion of criminal mischief, more than $2,500, less than $30,000, a state jail felony punishable by 6 months to 2 years in prison. Both remained in the Ector County Jail Thursday night on a $4,000 surety bond. Woman arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. A used car salesman told police he was trying to repossess one of his cars Wednesday afternoon and had a gun pointed at his chest. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an officer was flagged down outside a convenience store on North Andrews Highway around 2:15 p.m. Wednesday. The owner of Pete's Auto Sales told the officer he and an employee used GPS to track down a 2008 Nissan Altima because the woman who bought it, Sally June Summers, 23, was behind on the payments, the report stated. The man said the pair found the car at the DK convenience store at 2700 North Andrews Highway, but Summers, a Fort Stockton resident, became irate while speaking with him, according to the report. He told the officers Summers pushed him out of the doorway of the car, grabbed a handgun, and pointed it at his chest before driving away, the report stated. Officers found Summers and the car in the alleyway of the 600 block of North Tom Green using the alleged victim's GPS, the report stated. Summers admitted to pointing a weapon at the man, but said it was just an air pistol, according to the report. The officers confirmed the weapon was an air pistol and arrested Summers on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. They also arrested her on suspicion of possession of a controlled substance after finding cocaine in the car, the report stated. Summers remained in the Ector County Jail Thursday night on surety bonds totaling $34,000. Trick or treat. Numerous events scheduled around Odessa. Halloween is just around the corner, and numerous organizations are planning events that will take place over the weekend. On Monday, downtown Odessa, along with local businesses, will be coming together to offer a fun and safe environment for community members with treats on the street. The event will take place 4 to 7 p.m. October 31st. Participants can pick up a stamp paid from local businesses participating and visit those places to get their page stamped. People can take their stamped pages to the downtown Odessa table to enter their stamp page for an entry to giveaways. The idea for treats on the street came from the success of downtown Odessa's Easter egg hunt earlier this year. Quote, it will be very similar to our egg hunt that we did in the spring, end quote, downtown Odessa events and marketing coordinator Savannah Woodward said. Quote, there will be participating businesses will be able to pick up a map from any of those businesses and anyone who would like to participate. It'll show all the businesses that are participating and where they are on the map. You'll also get a stamp page. You'll go to each of these businesses and you'll get a chance to trick or treat or if they're giving out goodies or anything like that. Then they will stamp your page for you. If you get up to 10 stamps, then you can turn it in to the downtown Odessa table, and that's how you're entered for some big ticket giveaways that we're doing. We have a Nintendo Switch, a couple of TVs, a hoverboard, a Kindle, tons of stuff, end quote. Woodward said that downtown Odessa will be giving away free t-shirts while supplies last. Quote, we also have tons of snacks that we'll be giving out and other giveaways, end quote, Woodward said. Each of the businesses that will be participating will be on the map. Quote, it's just going to be located in the businesses in downtown, end quote, Woodward said. Quote, you'll stop by each one that's listed on the map. That gives people a chance to get inside those businesses and see what they have to offer, and hopefully those businesses get some new sales or customers, end quote. The event will be similar to the egg hunt. Quote, we had an amazing success with our egg hunt when we tried it this way with the map and inviting people to come down and do the egg hunt, end quote, Woodward said. Quote, we gave away 14,000 eggs in a 2-day span. We're hoping that translates to treats on the street, and we'll have great success with that. I think the community enjoyed the egg hunt. It's a way to continue fulfilling our mission, and it's a great free family fun event for the community, end quote. Ector County Library. Once again, Ector County Library will be putting on Halloween in the Park this Saturday. The event is scheduled from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. October 29th. Quote, we will have library staff and our friends at the library will be joining us, end quote. Children's librarian at Ector County Library, Jamie Henry, said. Quote, our therapy dog, Felix, will be joining us. He might have a couple of friends. We have other community partners such as the Girl Scouts, Permian Basin Literary Coalition, and we'll have Odessa Animal Control coming over to do their adoption event, end quote. Henry talked about how much fun the library has in putting on Halloween in the Park. Quote, we love being able to put on these big community events, end quote, Henry said. Quote, that way we get more people coming to join us and they can see everything that the library has to offer. It's not just books, but we try to offer them a safe place to come and explore creativity and get free things, end quote. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/4DS892YP. Ellen Newell Art Museum. Other places will be celebrating Dia de los Muertos, including the Ellen Newell Art Museum. From 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. October 29th, the museum, which is temporarily located at the Presidential Archives at the University of Texas Permian Basin due to the renovation work, will be hosting an event where the public is invited to celebrate and learn more about the customs and traditions of the special holiday while enjoying hands-on art activities. The event will feature a dance performed by Viva Mexico Ballet Folklorico dancers, as well as a musical performance by Mariachi Armonia. Guests will also be able to view the exhibitions at the archives. For more information, visit tinyurl.com/2P8K4KR9. Downtown Art Tour. The Ellen Newell Art Museum won't be the only place celebrating Dia de los Muertos. Today, Downtown Odessa, in a partnership with Odessa Arts, will be putting on the second edition of the Downtown Art Tour, which will have a Dia de los Muertos theme. The event is scheduled to begin at 6 p.m. at the Ector Theater. This week's Downtown Art Tour will celebrate the history and culture of Dia de los Muertos on a guided walking tour, which will stop at 5 local businesses downtown. More information on the Downtown Art Tour can be found at tinyurl.com/5D9PE9EJ. Ballroom Marfa opens Ecstatic Land Exhibition. Marfa. Ballroom Marfa recently opened its new exhibition titled Ecstatic Land, which will be on display until May 7, 2023. The exhibition opened this week, but will have opening celebrations from 4 to 7 p.m. November 12th. Ecstatic Land is an exhibition and screening series that brings together a multi-generational group of artists whose works explore the intersecting vitalities of the land and the self. The work Ecstatic itself comes from Greek, meaning, quote, to stand outside oneself, end quote. The show is co-curated by Dean Diderko and Ballroom Marfa director and curator Daisy Nam, with assistance from Ballroom Marfa curatorial and exhibitions assistant Alexanne Sescholtz. Oftentimes in nature, one can experience physical contact with the earth while being emotionally and psychologically transported elsewhere, especially in the vast expanses of the desert. Quote, we really wanted to put together an exhibition of multi-generational artists that are looking at the land in different ways and trying to foreground their practices that is somewhat different from a traditional landscape painting or photography tradition. In many ways, they are looking at the land and being with the land and then making work about that in more of an embodied way. The works range from photographs to 2D works to sculptures and other installation works, end quote. Participating artists in the exhibition include Laura Aguilar, Genesis Baez, Teresa Baker, Deneo Sashi Bopape, Christy Blizzard, the Frank Duncan Archive, Nancy Holt, Catherine Hubbard, Esuma, Benny Maris, Alan Mickelson, Laura Ortman, Ellie Perez, Sandra Perry, and David Benjamin Sherry. The gallery will be on view at the November 12th opening, and there will also be an outdoor screening series that coincides with the exhibition, which will be taking place in the courtyard. Quote, there's also performances that will be taking place, end quote, Nam said. Quote, one is Ortman, who is a musician and plays the violin. She will do it in the tradition of a white mountain Apache violin. She'll do a performance, end quote. Blizzard, who has a film that is a part of the series, will also be present and will do an electronic music performance that is inspired by nature and the landscape. Quote, we'll also have a few pieces by Holt, who has passed away, that feature fire pits that feature the shape of the Big Dipper, so we've worked with the McDonald Observatory on that and an astronomer there to help us map that onto the ballroom courtyard, end quote. Nam talked about some of the other pieces in the exhibition that she finds interesting. Quote, there's a piece that is made by a Bopape, who is an artist from South Africa, end quote, Nam said. Quote, she is based in Johannesburg, but has sent us some detailed instructions on how to build this mud and soil sculpture, using sculpture to mimic architecture, but also foregrounding the rituals around and how we are within the land. It looks like a semicircle. We created that using soil, hay, and mud from the Marfa region to create that shape. Visitors are welcomed to walk around it and meditate on that space. That is really beautiful, end quote. For more information, can be found online at tinyurl.com/4fbdum5y. Mary Marketplace returns for 2022. For the last 39 years, Mary Marketplace has helped mark the start to the holiday season in the Permian Basin. It'll return this year with much of the same to offer as it has in years past. This year's Mary Marketplace will take place from November 3rd to November 6th at the Ector County Coliseum. 77 vendors will have booths set up at the multi-day event, with merchants coming from all over Texas and seven other states. Mary Marketplace first started in 1983 and is put on by the Junior League of Odessa. This year's theme is, quote, "Sparkle and Shine, It's Christmas Time," end quote. Quote, "We're very excited," end quote, Mary Marketplace chairperson Bria Frazier said. Quote, "This is our 39th annual Marketplace event. We're bringing glitzy glam this year. It'll be elegant and glittery. We think it's going to be fantastic. We have a great group of merchants coming. We have a busy week scheduled. We'll have our preview party on Thursday night. We'll have Lady Luncheon on Friday, and then our Breakfast with Santa on Saturday, and the general admission shopping throughout the entire weekend. We're really excited about this event this year," end quote. The vendors have something for everyone, from jewelry to clothing and toys. While most of the vendors come back each year, Frazier says that this year there will be about 13 to 14 new merchants. Quote, "We're excited to bring in new ones, just fresh and new people and new items to purchase," end quote, Frazier said. Quote, "We have people coming from seven different states. We have people coming in from Nevada, Washington, New Hampshire, Illinois, Indiana, Oklahoma, North Carolina, and Ohio, and all across Texas. We're bringing some new merchants this year, which I think will be exciting," end quote. Frazier talked about some of the vendors that come back each year. Quote, "Honestly, some of the vendors are repeat vendors every year because they love this show and this market, and they're really dedicated," end quote, Frazier said. Quote, "We love having them back. We'll have a little bit of the traditional stuff. There's always clothes and handmade items. There's a couple of food items this year that we're excited about bringing. We have clothes, shoes, and a couple of gift items for men. We have these cool adjustable stools that are great for hunting. There will also be all kinds of decor and furniture," end quote. The event will begin in its premiere shopping preview party from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. November 3rd. Ticket prices are $100 per person. The preview party includes an open bar." Quote, "We're going to do our preview party on Thursday again," end quote, Frazier said. Quote, "We're going to keep it cocktail attire. Hopefully it'll be sophisticated. We'll have a jazz band that night. There'll be free beer and wine," end quote. The ladies' luncheon and fashion show will take place from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. November 4th. Quote, "This year we're doing our style show with Kirby's Closet and XO Bridals, both here locally," end quote, Frazier said. Quote, "We're excited to showcase everything they have to offer," end quote. Breakfast with Santa will be from 9 a.m. to noon November 5th for $5 a ticket. Mary Marketplace general shopping hours are 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. November 4th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. November 5th, and noon to 5 p.m. November 6th. General admission shopping is $10 per ticket. The event has served as a transition from Halloween to Christmas season. Quote, "It's exciting because everyone wants to start decorating for Christmas earlier each year, so the fact that we can do it and get away with it is great. I feel like it gets everyone in the Christmas spirit," end quote, Frazier said. Quote, "Everyone starts purchasing gifts, it gets everyone in the mood," end quote. The event serves as a fundraiser for the Junior League of Odessa. Quote, "Honestly, it means a lot to be able to put on this fundraiser every year so that we can continue to give back to the community. All the funds that we raise go back into the community through projects that we do. The fact that we're able to give so much money back to the community feels really good," end quote. The event was not held in 2020 due to COVID, but Frazier said it was exciting to see the return of Mary Marketplace last year. Quote, "Taking a year off wasn't the worst thing ever," end quote, Frazier said. Quote, "It gave us a chance to regroup. It sort of incorporated us to some other things. It helped us to step back and look at what is most important part of what we're trying to obtain, but we're definitely glad to be able to bring it back. We enjoy doing it. The preparation for it takes the entire year, but it's worth it once we see how successful it is and how important it is to the entire community," end quote. For more information about the Junior League of Odessa, go to tinyurl.com/539NZYT7.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.